Thank you. Well, welcome. Thank you for sharing these moments with the Murphy family and care and concern for them and an honor of Robert. And I know they're very grateful that you are here sharing this with them. Let's pray together. Our Lord God, we do commit these moments to you. We know that what you say in your word is true. And your truth, whatever else fails in life, your truth remains and abides forever. And we ask, O Lord, and thank you that the truth of who you are, the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation by his grace through faith in his Son, in the Son, Jesus Christ, the enabling of the Holy Spirit, and the presence and comfort of him, and all that you say is true, we pray that you would make that truth known to each family member and friend in these moments, in these days. So it is with expectation that we ask for your help even in this service, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read the obituary that Danelle and Ariana provided for us all. On August the 2nd, Robert Charles Murphy Sr. passed away at home from complications related to prostate cancer, surrounded by family. He was diagnosed with the disease 3 months previously. He is survived by his parents, Charles and Nancy Murphy, three brothers, Richard, Ronald, and Randy, and three children, Robbie, Sandra. I did not know Danelle's first name was Sandra till I read it. So you never know, Danelle and Ariana, many nephews and nieces, his younger sister, Chris, Tina, passed away in 1980 at the age of 9 from a brain tumor. Robert was born on October 17th, 1964 in Illinois. He graduated from Windsor Hills Baptist High School in 1982 at Oklahoma City and going on to study at Tennessee Temple University. During his college years, he discovered a passion and talent for auto mechanic work, which he built into a lifelong career and thriving personal business. He touched the lives of many people through his hard work, generosity, and deep knowledge of mechanics, and I know a number of his customers are here today. Robert met his wife of 26 years, Christy Abbott, while attending Tennessee Temple University. Christy passed away in 2015 from breast cancer. In the months leading up to her death, Robert displayed unwavering love and dedication to his wife while caring for her at home. Everyone who knew him well recognized he was a man who pursued his hobbies with vigor and a deep passion for learning. From a young age, he showed an aptitude for taking apart and putting together mechanical things, as well as an interest in collecting and restoring antique items, from copper pennies and magazines to cars and rifles. Gun and car collecting were some of his favorite pastimes. He spent many evenings modifying his acquisitions with an artist's attention for detail and originality. Robert also loved being out in nature, spending many days in the summer and fall out fishing, hunting, or spending time with his dog and cats. Most of all, he was a deeply caring man who found great fulfillment and pride in providing for his family. Robert professed faith in Jesus at a young age and near the end of his life, encouraged those around him to pursue and glorify Christ. Though he is dearly missed by friends and family, we can rejoice that he is no longer suffering and now is reunited with his wife and sister in heaven. At this time, Danelle is going to come and share her remembrances.
Hello, everyone. Thank you all for being here today. It's an honor to have you. I wanted to take a moment to share some of my dad's last words, his heart's last cry, with you all in the hope that it will encourage and minister to you as it did our family. These were his words. I thought I had till I was 80. The sin of this world isn't worth it, not even for a little bit. Everybody, please draw closer to God and be the example this world needs to see. In these days, and for these kids coming up, I just wish I could have lasted longer. Thank you to God for all the things I learned, the abilities to do the things I did. Kinda wish I was here to pass it on. The only thing that I can ask is that everybody turn and serve the Lord with everything you've got. My mom taught me to pray and read God's word. My dad taught me to hold this world loosely in my hands. The song you're about to hear next, He Maketh No Mistake, was a personal favorite of Dad's. It is said that the author, A.M. Overton, penned these words after his wife and newborn died during childbirth. Though written in 1932, this poem contains timeless truth that speaks directly to those who are well acquainted with the suffering of this world. As you know, my dad lost the love of his life, my mom, 9 years ago. While difficult to accept, he found comfort in these words, as I do now.
Father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know He maketh no mistake. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all He'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, He made not one mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust the Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all on him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake.
That song was written at a funeral, if you can believe it. To imagine Overton, his wife was pregnant with their fourth child, of course, and during the birth of the child, there were complications, and both the wife and the baby were lost. And during the funeral service, Overton's is writing furiously during the funeral service. And after the service was done, the pastor that was officiating the service asked him what he was doing, and he handed him a piece of paper, and on it are the words that we just sung, that poem. It's remarkable and very, very meaningful. Thank you so much for choosing that, Danelle and Ariana. Well, this situation, really any situation, a biblical preacher has one primary job. The primary job of a biblical preacher anytime is to speak the truth, always in love, and to always do so, though, without any question, because God is a God that always tells us the truth. And really, the truth is what makes people free. And so today, I'm going to share a few thoughts with you taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 27. Remember, the job of a funeral is not to speak to the dead, but the funeral is to speak to the living. And the Bible tells us this, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. The Bible says, "For as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Robert gave me some very specific instructions, a couple of things about his funeral. And the first instruction that he gave me, and I had to go back to my text record to see if I got everything right. The first thing that he said was that the girls and I want you to make sure you preach the gospel very clearly, and I'm going to do that today. "It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." And that reminds us that every person has one life. It's appointed unto men once to die, and it means that you just have one life. Oh, if I could do it again, if only I could relive. And every one of us could have statements like that about our life, right? But you can't relive your life. None of us can relive our life. Wisdom is living one life with choices that honor and obey the God who's the God of truth, the God who reveals himself by the word of truth. And it's true of you and I that each of us has only one life. And sometimes I'll tell our people here, don't waste your life. You only have one. Don't waste it. Wisdom is living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been challenged with that already. Every person has only one life. There's something else that God says in this one wonderful verse. God reminds us that every person has an appointment with death. It is appointed unto men once to die. The wages of sin is death, the scriptures tell us. It tells us as well that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When you think of death in the Bible, think of the consequences of sin. And it is true that sin always has consequences. And every person, because of sin, every one of us has an appointment with death. Now, you have an appointment with death, and death comes to us all. Now, death doesn't come necessarily when you plan it. So you have to plan for it. Does that make sense? Because when I think of, to imagine that it's been this long, it seems like yesterday in one sense, but it seems like forever ago when Christy passed. And then for Robert, and for some of you, you can understand this, and some of you, you're going to really have a hard time, young people, understanding this. He was really a young man, not yet 60. He turned 60 in October. And so you cannot plan death, but you do plan for it. James chapter 4 describes people who were planning out their life, and they made their life plan, but they didn't put the Lord Jesus Christ at the center, and they didn't say, whatever the will of God is, that's what we'll do, but they planned out their life. And James 4:14 says that these people were not wise. And it's fine to plan your life, but to plan a life without Jesus at the center and the will of God at the center of your life is not wise. So how do you plan for death? Well, Hebrews chapter 9 tells us how we plan for death. There's an extended discussion in this chapter about the Old Testament sacrifices under the Mosaic law and how those were repeated regularly. But then it describes how Jesus would come, the Messiah, and Jesus would give himself as the once for all perfect sacrifice, as the Lamb of God, so that he, as God in human form, eternally God and yet a man, yet without sin, and he made a once for all sacrifice for sins, so that we're told in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Why did Jesus go to a cross? He did so that he could take the sin of all the people of all the world. He did so for you. So glad I can tell you. I can look everyone in the eye and say, he did so for you. He died for you. It was Jesus who said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And my friend, there is an appointment that you have with death. And the only way that you can be ready for your appointment is to have your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? So we're told that every person has only one life to live. We're told that every person has an appointment with death. And we're told that every person has an accountability at death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, for those who have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a judgment for you awaiting. It is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Listen to what the Bible tells us about Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is a book that God keeps. And all those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the very moment that person trusts in Jesus Christ, their name is written down in God's book. And when life is over and you stand before Almighty God and God opens that book of life, if your name is not in that book, my friend, it is too late for you. You will be, as the Bible tells us, cast into the lake of fire. It's a great judgment. And those without Jesus Christ will one day face that judgment. But there's another judgment. This is not for those without Jesus Christ. This is for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is called the judgment seat of Christ. This is for those who know Christ. And it's not a judgment that deals with their eternal salvation. That's already been taken care of by the sacrifice of Jesus and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a judgment for what one will do with their, how they live their life for the Lord Jesus. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible tells us. This is a day of reward or a loss of reward. And can I say to you that know the Lord Jesus Christ as I do, that you and I, we don't have to worry about the great white throne judgment, but we do and will stand before Jesus Christ and give an account. And can I tell you, while we're living, because remember, a preacher doesn't preach to the dead. A preacher preaches to the living. Though there are some times as a preacher when I've wondered, and I can't always tell the difference. I'm preaching to the living. While you have an opportunity to invest your life in the things that matter in eternity, live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when God is clear about something in the Scriptures, then you can know what is true and right. And there are some things in life that you cannot know. God knows them, but we cannot know them. And there's even times like that. The Apostle Paul said, you know, there's some things I don't even know if I can judge my own motives. And so this is 1 Corinthians 4:4-5. So I'm going to let the Lord Jesus at that judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to let him sort all that out. I'll leave it to him as the righteous judge. But friend, if you know the Lord Jesus, then remember that judgment seat of Christ. And if you do not know Christ by faith, can I tell you that today is a day for you to prepare and plan for that final day. Now, again, I told you that funerals are to speak to the, not to the dead, but to the living. And I want to remind you again, you have one life to live. You will have an appointment with death. You will have an accountability at death. Are you ready for your appointment? I told you I went into my text messages to make sure I had all the instructions that Robert gave me right. Okay, and it was interesting that whenever I was looking at that, he had called me. I'm not even sure the time just runs together. Have you found that the time just runs together? You all probably have found that right over the last months. It just runs together, and so he had a question about some things, and we had a discussion about it on the phone, and I sent him scripture. And I just remembered it when I checked out my messages. 1 John chapter 5, I'll begin reading in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God, or the Son of God hath the witness in himself that he believeth. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, I had one other word of instruction that Robert gave me, and I'm going to finish out by finishing out following the instructions he gave me. Is that all right? Now, if you happen to give me instructions for your funeral, I may not follow all your instructions, but on this one, I do want to follow his instructions. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head. And I'm going to ask you this. And Robert put this in his text. No one looking around. Eyes closed. No one looking around. Interesting. And he says, now what I want you to do is I want you to have this, and I'm going to ask you to do just like he asked me to do. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he said, I want you to make sure that you give the people right there a chance to receive Christ. And I'm going to ask you, as he told me, he said, have the people that don't know Christ lift their heads. And if that's you, you don't know Christ, lift your head. And he said, then I want you to tell them how they can know Christ. And I'm going to tell you what you can do right now is just admit to God, I'm a sinner. And say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died and rose again for me. And right now, by faith, I ask you to save me. So Robert said, after you do that, then you can encourage them to come talk to you. But he said, I want it to be really clear. I want everyone to have a chance to receive Christ right there in my funeral. And so I honored his wishes. And you know the wish that he would have, and certainly this is the wish of the eternal loving God, is that you today will know Christ. Let's pray. So Lord, we are grateful that Jesus put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Oh, what love. What grace, undeserved. What a miracle that you loved us so, and that Jesus came and gave himself for us, that each of us may be saved. And so, Lord, it is our prayer that those that even today may have received Christ, you'd help them in their life. All of us who know Christ, Lord Jesus, may we live for you and love you. We pray help and grace on behalf of the Murphy family. And so we ask all of this then in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is one song or another song that was selected, and it's How Great Thou Art. And so a duet's going to sing the first verse and chorus of How Great Thou Art. And then after they finish the first verse and chorus, Pastor Alexander's going to come and have you stand. He'll stand you. And we as a congregation are going to sing the last verse of How Great Thou Art. The funeral directors will come and escort the family out as we sing that last verse. So the next song is How Great Thou Art.
Stand, we'll sing together, When Christ Shall Come.
When Christ shall come, we shall.